everyone. Welcome to the fourth solo episode of V the People. This is actually my first time recording the pod at night. And I'm really excited about it. I am a night owl. I think ever since I started working from home, I've always been a night owl for sure. It was always like really hard for me to fall asleep when I was little. But then once I started adulting and working, I would always relish in like coming home and going to sleep. Whereas now that I work from home, I feel like the nighttime is really just my time to shine and log off and let it freaking rip. So I'm kind of excited. I have my cats with me. One of them was already trying to eat my microphone cord. So if you hear a weird sound, that explains it. I'm having some wine. I'm ready to get into some Bravo. So I'm just really in my element, I would say, and I'm excited about it. So welcome. If you've been listening and following along, I really appreciate it. And I've decided to keep these solo eps going between guests because I just think they're fun. Okay, so first we're going to get into some TV. Okay, I don't know if anyone watched Paradise on Hulu. Season one came out about a year ago. I was super into it. I would probably relate it to how I felt about Stranger Things. Like, I had to watch it really all in one night. I just couldn't stop. And it's one of those shows that you really have to lean into the idea of something existential or like an apocalypse or the world ending. It's a little sci-fi-ish, although not really, because technically this one could actually happen. But yeah, I was just really, really into it, and it gave me the same type of adrenaline rush and sort of like page turner feel that Stranger Things always has. So I loved season one. I was kind of nervous to start season two, kind of similar to how I am with The Last of Us. I watched the first season, was obsessed, and like started episode one of the second season. And I don't know, I get like weirdly anxious that I'm not going to remember, or it's going to be too confusing, or it'll feel really different. I can't really explain it, but I have like this weird, especially when the seasons are like a year apart, it takes me a little bit, which is why I think I've always loved Stranger Things, is because every time there's a new season, I like instantly remember why I love it so much. So anyways, Paradise season two has been out, and the first four episodes are currently out. I watched all four last night. I came to bed at like almost 1 a.m., woke my wife up. She was like, "What's going on?" I was like, "I'm sorry. It was Paradise and all of the actors' names that I can't remember." It's just really, really good. I think what I loved the most is that they open season two, episode one, with a different storyline. So if you're familiar, I won't give away any spoilers, but basically season one is the idea of an end of the world type of catastrophe. And you follow the storyline of the top Secret Service detail for the president, who is moving into an underground bunker in Colorado. But you're following along with his Secret Service, who has a whole other story and can't get to his wife, who's in another state and is aware of what's going on, but wasn't able to tell the rest of his staff. So there's kind of like all of these moral dilemmas. But you really just follow him the entire time. I mean, you learn more about all of the other characters, but that's who we're following. And the first episode of this season actually starts with someone who experienced the end of the world from a totally different place in America. And you open up with her story, which at first I'm kind of like, where is everyone? Where's my guy that I've been following? I think his name is Sterling K. Brown. I need to look it up because I'm always worried I'm going to say the names wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's who it is. He's a gorgeous, gorgeous man. And more importantly, he's like not creepy at all. So that's really cool. But anyways, this episode opens up with this girl who essentially is a tour guide at Graceland in Memphis. And when the world ends, she has the intelligence and the quick thinking to immediately gather everything. As everyone else is panicking and getting on buses and driving away, her and this other tour guide decide to stay in Elvis's house in Graceland. And they raid the kitchen, they get everything they need, they go to the safe room, and they, you know, have all the Graceland merch and Graceland candles, and they can live there. So you're following her story. It does end up intersecting with all of the stories from season one, which is so hard to believe as to how they get there, but they do. So anyways, I'm obsessed. Highly recommend if you're into something that you can just really binge and get into, some adrenaline, some thrill. As always, check the trigger warnings because, you know, I'm just a freak. And there's definitely some weird things in this one. Okay. The other new season that is out of a show that I love, which I think is season three. Or is it season two? It might actually only be season two. It doesn't matter. Is Shrinking, which is on Apple TV. If you don't have Apple TV, it's $10 a month. And one episode of Shrinking is worth $10. It follows a group of therapists, which is why it's called Shrinking, and what's going on in their own lives, their own problems that they have. But to be quite honest, the storyline isn't what is so special about the show. It's the characters and their relationships to each other. It's kind of a mixture, I would say, between like The Office, but also Gilmore Girls or Parenthood, like very fast banter. A lot of great character development and really heartwarming. I love it. My wife loves it. My parents love it. I just feel like, how can you not love it? It's giving Ted Lasso. Like, you just smile as you're watching it. So I don't really have much else to say because I feel like the storyline is just so... you're following so many different people and it's more of an ensemble cast and it's just worth it. So if you haven't gotten into it, it might only be season two, although I can't fully remember. Okay. The other thing I really need to unpack is The Traitors season finale. If you don't already know what happens, I mean, I can't really help you because it's now been at least a full week, I want to say. So this has been a bone of contention in my home because I understand it's a game. I understand the point is to win, whether you are a faithful or whether you are a traitor. However, there's something about Rob's comfort level with lying that just makes me feel weird inside. I understand he did a great job deceiving people. That's why we're there. Ironically, I always say, like, I would love to be a traitor. I think it would be so fun. But I don't know. I think it was like the fact that he's a man and he's lying to women. I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. I hated seeing how much Mara trusted him and how genuinely surprised she was when he revealed that he was a traitor. I don't like it. I'm pissed. It really all started, I will say, when he immediately threw the housewives under the bus. Like, I don't think he needed to do that. I think they could have made it much farther as a team. And I'm just the housewives ride or die. I mean, and those are two of the most iconic and best housewives that he just completely threw under the bus. So I think it really just started there for me and then escalated. However, if you don't watch The Traitors, that's another one that's just like, if you need to binge something, if you're into games, if you like sort of like the showmanship of it all, then it's definitely worth it, I would say. But for me, it's more of like the Bravo, the Alan Cumming, the Housewives. However, any reality show that you've ever watched is likely represented, which I think I've talked about before, but I would watch it. 10 out of 10, recommend. Okay, and last but not least on my docket for TV is Love is Blind. I know I've talked about this season before. Unfortunately, it's just one of those shows that I have to watch. I can't not, even though it's so hetero. I get that they're doing The Ultimatum and they've had some queer casts for The Ultimatum, but like, wouldn't Love is Blind be so much more fun with bisexuals? Like, isn't that kind of the whole point? I mean, I guess I understand, but then also they all talk about each other's appearances anyways, so then why would you go on the show? It's just, it's a dumpster fire, but I can't help myself, truly. So there's really not much to say other than there's a couple of men that are complete trash. One of them has a name that rhymes with Schmalix. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, you're probably better off. If you do know what I'm referring to and you would like to just talk shit over margaritas, I am available. So there you have it for my TV recap. I feel like there will come a day where I'm kind of caught up on all the TV and just be watching like one of my comfort shows for the 100th time. So I'm relishing that there's so much content out right now, and I feel like I'm constantly having to catch up on things. I'm telling you, the nighttime is just my TV time, my wind down, and my time to just hang out with my cats, who are so cute right now, being the cutest podcast emotional support guests ever. You guys are killing it. Killing it. Okay. So speaking of things that I'm watching, recently in my TikTok algorithm, if you are like a 90s, early 2000s person, I'll get like this thing where it's like, take a break from scrolling and watch 20 minutes of this That's So Raven episode, which is probably essentially the whole episode. Or it'll say like, watch the opening credits for Even Stevens, or watch this moment on Lizzie McGuire, which, by the way, RIP to Mr. McGuire. So sad. But yeah, I'm here for it. These TikTok scrolling breaks, not like I really need a scrolling break from TikTok, but yeah, if that hasn't come across your desk, look it up so that the algorithm knows that you want to see it, because it truly is so nostalgic. And I love that side of the internet where it shows me, like, you know, the mall at Christmas in 1999. I want to see those things. I want to remember a TV show that I completely forgot even existed, and then it triggers something. So yeah, that's been coming across my algorithm. Other things that come across my algorithm. Okay, anytime the Philly special, if you're not a football fan or an Eagles fan, why are you here? But truly, anytime the Philly special comes across my TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, real life conversation, I will give it 110% of my attention. It makes me so happy. It gives me such a dopamine boost. And it's one of those things that I'll never skip. I'll never skip past. I don't care if it's going to show me all of the highlights from that specific Super Bowl. I will stop everything I'm doing and sit and watch it. The other thing, oh God, this one is a tough one, because I feel like if you have a beating heart, I don't know how you couldn't feel something for this, but Punch, the monkey who was rejected by his mom, but has since been reaccepted by certain monkeys. I think he might even be at a different zoo. I actually don't know all the details. I just know that he carries around that stuffy and that it's sold out at IKEA and that the world is obsessed. And I understand it's like a viral thing. Everyone's talking about it. But specifically, if you are an empath, I think the thing that bothers me the most is like, Punch doesn't know the support that he has behind him. I did have a thought the other day where I was like, is there a way that, like, the head monkey around Punch can feel all the energy around this dude, like all the love coming for him from around the world. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I probably sound crazy, but genuinely, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then I don't, like, what's your secret? Because I need that type of, like, complete oblivion. This freaking monkey, all the montages that people make, the content creation is boundless with him. And I really just, I can't get enough, but I also, like, I can't take anymore. So I'm at this weird intersection of those two things, which is exciting. Okay. Other things coming up in my TikTok algorithm. There is this senior man named Edwin who covers Taylor Swift songs. He kind of sounds like Winnie the Pooh a little bit. And that's not like a nostalgic thing for me. I wasn't really a big Winnie the Pooh girly, but there's something about Edwin and just seeing this senior man covering Marjorie that really grinds my gears in such a great way. So again, if you're looking for refreshers to your algorithm, I don't know if you're one of those people, like, if you just stick to whatever is coming up, but every now and then I like to hit that search box. I like to change it up. I like to know, I like my algorithm to understand that I'm ever changing and evolving and I'm curious. So look up Edwin covering Taylor Swift. You'll see what I mean. If old men just, like, really bring you joy, then you're missing out if you're not watching Edwin. Okay, my last segment for this nice and short solo episode is something we don't talk about enough. I'm going to call it decision fatigue. And I don't mean, like, analysis paralysis where you're struggling to make one decision. I'm talking about, like, the thousands of decisions that we have to make as adults on the day to day. And I don't even have kids. So I cannot even imagine. If you hear something, it is our cat Sullivan playing with, we always say playing with his balls, but I mean, and that is what he's doing, but not his balls, but these little wooden balls in, like, this little circle thing. If you're a cat owner, you know what I mean, but he's playing with them right now. Okay. So I don't even have kids, and I feel like every single day I'm faced with just so many series of decisions, down to, of course, the never ending, what are we having for dinner? But also, if you work from home, what are you having for breakfast? What are you having for lunch? What's your snack? Are you exercising that day? What am I spending money on? I'm even starting to think, like, should I have someone mulch for me this year? This is such, like, a privileged problem. But as I'm getting older, do I really want to take 2 days out of my work week and mulch my entire yard? Or do I spend the money for someone else to do it for me? What am I watching on TV tonight? I mean, again, first world problems, things I'm really lucky to worry about. But I feel like by the end of the day, I'm just tired of making decisions. I just want someone to make them for me. And I think that's the beauty of partnership, is, like, taking the turns, making the decisions, which I love. But when it's your turn, then it's just, like, double the pressure. So I just think we need to normalize not wanting to make decisions. I think we need to admit when we're in that space. And I don't know, just, like, know that you're not alone. We're all just out here trying to be adults. And some days it's going great. Some days I forget who I am. The other thing, it's like, what did I go into this room for, kind of thing. Like, because your brain is just constantly having to think about the next thing, and sometimes you're on autopilot. Do you ever do that thing where you walk into a room in your house and you know that there was a reason, and you're even holding something in your hands and you're thinking, why did I walk in here? So I know there's, like, all the bullshit out there about mindfulness and being present and knowing what you're doing all the time and where you're going. But like, that sounds really hard. I'd prefer to disassociate, zone out, and complain about it on this platform. So you're welcome. Thanks everyone for listening. Next week, my dad is going to be on the pod. I interviewed him a couple weeks ago. I have a bit of a backlog with guests, which is a good problem to have. And my dad and I talked all things about his time in the Navy. We talked about being married for as long as he has, and also growing up in a family of 9, and he was the 7th child. So it was pretty interesting. To be honest, I learned a lot, which is kind of sad, but also really cool. So if you listened to this episode, thank you so much, and we'll see you next week. Bye.